Off and running we are. Welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to join us on a very nice Monday here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City, where things are quite busy today, and we have a couple of very interesting interviews to partake along the way to you as we try to keep up with what's going on in town. It can be very difficult sometimes to keep up on all of the arts activities going on in town, but we didn't want to miss the 15th Annual Jewish Film Festival going on beginning on the, I have it here, Saturday, October 12th at the Jewish Community Center of Kansas City.
Yep,
and
that's it.
It'll be commencing then. 8 narrative and documentary films with special speakers along the way. Here to tell us all about, since we missed the first 14 years, it's only great.
Hopping in on the 15th, you're a latecomer, but you're here, so we're glad to have you.
The 15th Annual Jewish Film Festival is Krista Blackwood. She is the Director of Cultural Arts for the Jewish Community Center, and that covers it all. That covers the plays, the special events.
It does.
And this, the Jewish Film Festival.
The Jewish Film Festival. My two big jobs are the Jewish Film Festival and the season at the White Theater. So we do live performing arts, but then we also get to dabble in film, which is a joy for me, for sure.
Are you part of getting to pick which films?
I do get to pick. I have a committee of about 10 to 15 people, and we spend most of the year watching films that are sent to us by several distributors that focus on film with Jewish content, Israeli film, and films that just have kind of a Jewish twist. That's our tagline, great films with a Jewish twist. So it's not heavily Jewish content all the time. We try to balance that. Our documentaries usually are pretty heavily Jewish content, whether it's about politics in Israel or the Holocaust or things of that nature. Jews and Baseball was one of the documentaries we did last year, which explored, because when you think, the old joke is Jews aren't good at sports, but this whole documentary was about Jews who were good at baseball. So
there were some famous Jews that
Hank
played
Greenberg,
in the major.
Yeah. So this year we don't have any sports, but we've got a couple of really great documentaries that are all Holocaust documentaries this year, except they take the Holocaust at different angles. Mm-hmm. My favorite juxtaposition is on Sunday, October 13th, we have a documentary called Nikki's Family, which is about Nicholas Winton, who spent the late 30s, before World War II broke out, saving children. So he was Czechoslovakia. He saved about 670 children of Jewish families from Czechoslovakia. So these parents put these children on a train to go to Britain to wait out the war, not knowing what was going to happen. This was before the war broke out. So they just knew things were bad, and they trusted Mr. Winton to take care of their kids. And, of course, things did go bad, and most of these children did not have families to go back to. But he saved 670 kids who grew up to have kids, and his family has expanded to 5,700-some people. But nobody knew about this. I mean, mm-hmm. It was kind of a forgotten part of the war because war broke out, and then, horrific things happened, and this was a forgotten moment. And then Mr. Winton's wife was in the attic one day in the 80s and found a scrapbook and said, "What is all this?" And it was all pictures of these kids and how he had saved them. So that film juxtaposed with a film called Hitler's Children, which is about the descendants of prominent Nazis. You think Himmler, Hess, Goering, all of these people had families, and so their descendants are still floating around in the world. And how do these children of prominent Nazis deal with being the children of prominent Nazis? How do they deal with that legacy?
Sorry, so I'll change your name.
Well, and one of them did for a while. She moved to the States, and she changed her name, but then she changed it back. But her story, and it's a kind of a spoiler, she's not going to have kids, because she doesn't want to continue the line.
Oh, I see.
And so, and listening to all these people and how they've decided to deal with it, the grandson of Hess goes to Auschwitz with a third-generation Holocaust survivor, and they explore it together. When this man was in school, they wouldn't let him go on these field trips because he was a descendant, and so he'd never been. He's in his late 30s, early 40s, and he'd never been. And so that juxtaposition was really interesting to me to think of the legacy of the Holocaust in those two different ways.
Yeah, so I would think they'd be a bit afraid, actually. If you think about it, in some people's reasoning, you destroyed my family line.
Right.
I'm going to destroy yours.
Right.
That kind of thinking prevails itself often.
Well, in Germany as a whole struggled with that after World War II, except a lot of people could hide their connections to the Nazi regime. But if you have a name like Himmler or Hess, it's harder. Goering, it's harder. People, you know, Mengele didn't have descendants that I know of, but that's harder to hide. So Germany, as a country, dealt with that in a large way, but this is, you know, we're farther down the line now. It's been, you know, many, many years since this happened. Our Holocaust survivors are now dying themselves, and we're starting to lose that part of history. So this is the time when telling stories like this becomes extremely important, because we're starting to lose a lot of that life history that we used to have.
Now, that the name of that one is Hitler's Children. Mm-hmm. The only listing I see here for it is Tuesday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m. with a discussion following.
A discussion following Neil Schuster, who is out at KU Hillel and used to be a rabbi at Temple B'nai Yehuda, is coming out to talk about several of the issues that I've mentioned and much more. He's a very dynamic and engaging speaker, and it'll be question-answer and presentation. It'll be quite engaging after
the film. I remember one of the news channels. This has been a number of years ago, maybe between 5 and 10. But they talked with a mayor of a small city in West Germany, and his last name was Rommel, Mayor Rommel.
Yeah.
And, of course, someone asked him any relation. He said, yes, father.
Yeah.
So how...
And then what do you do with that? Yeah, yeah. And imagine, what would you do with that?
And he was the mayor of a town, so he was elected, despite that.
Right.
Must be a lot different. Now, the name of that one is Hitler's Children. Now, the first one you mentioned, I don't believe we said the title or the date.
It's called Nikki's Family.
Okay.
It's on Sunday, October 13th at 2.
Yeah. Now, all of the presentations are at the White Theater, which is the same place where people go to see the dramatic and musical productions that you have.
Absolutely. We pull down a screen, and although you're not allowed to have popcorn inside the theater because food and drink's not allowed. And so you get a lot of a movie experience and a lot of a theater experience combined. But we do screen all of those films at the White Theater, except this year, Foreign Letters, which is Sunday, October 20th at 2. It will still be in the building, but it'll be in the Heritage Center, which is right in the door as you come in to go into the White Theater. On your right is the Heritage Center. It's a smaller space. We can have popcorn in there. And Foreign Letters is aimed at preteen, teenage girls and their moms. So we thought we'd put it in a more intimate spot and be able to have drinks and popcorn. So that's Sunday, October 20th at 2.
That's about a 12-year-old girl who arrives in the U.S. from Israel and must cope with homesickness and humiliations in school.
Mm-hmm. And so she befriends a Vietnamese immigrant girl as well. And so they find a lot of similarity and a lot of difference in their experience and really find a deep connection. And Tamara Falikoff, who is a film professor at KU, will be facilitating a discussion after that.
There's discussions after a bunch of the shows, not all of the shows.
Not all of the shows. We have a discussion after Hitler's Children, and then there'll be a discussion after The Optimists that screens Thursday, October 17th at 7:30. The Optimists, it was a band, a jazz band during World War II, but it's about, it traces sometimes the little-known fact that the Bulgarian people saved their Jewish community. Bulgaria saved their Jews, and this tells the story of how that happened and who had to stand up to the Nazi regime to make that happen.
Yeah, 50,000 member Jewish community. So they were probably a major target. What kinds of things did I'm giving away the end of the movie. What kinds of things did they do?
It was just government officials standing up for things. The king of Bulgaria stood up and said, this will not happen, and had enough power with the Nazi regime to make it work. And this film reveals a lot of those stories and reveals a lot of the tactics they used to save their people.
Yeah, that'll be Thursday, October 17th at 7:30
The White Theater.
The White Theater, okay.
All
that's
of
not
them
the
are,
one at,
no.
at the Heritage.
The one that's at the Heritage Center. And, again, it's easy to find. Just come to the White Theater and we'll point you to the right direction.
Okay.
The one
but
that's,
you can't have popcorn. Not in the White.
You can have popcorn just on Sunday, October 20th at 2. You bring your own and sneak it in there and chew really quietly. You probably won't notice. But,
that's right.
Yeah.
Now the Matchmaker, Sunday, October 13th at 6 o'clock p.m. There's a more conventional movie called The Matchmaker, which was a predecessor of the one that Barbara Streisand did in films. This is a different Matchmaker.
Completely different.
This covers the same topic, obviously.
Well, you know, Matchmaking is, I guess, this takes place in the 60s, and I guess it was still quite a prevalent way to find a spouse. in that time. But this is more of a story of a coming of age of a young man who goes to work for a man who is a matchmaker. But really, he's hosting an illegal gambling salon, and he's, you know, he's trying to help. And this is the 60s in Israel, so there are a lot of Holocaust survivors there. So it's more about the story of how those people built their lives again. There's a movie theater that is owned and run by a family of dwarves who were persecuted by the Nazis and ended up in Israel. And then there's, you know, there's a lot of scenes in that one where you see the numbers on their wrists. And so it's indirectly telling the story of how people rebuilt their lives after the Holocaust. But and through the eyes of this young 16-year-old boy who doesn't, his dad is a Holocaust survivor, but he's never heard the story. Mm. And so it doesn't delve deeply into the Holocaust, but it's touching on it. And it's touching on why we're losing these stories, why a lot of survivors didn't talk about it, so their kids had no idea. And Nicholas Winton, who was the man who saved those 670 children in Czechoslovakia, never talked about it. So, you know, the history gets lost like that. So there's always links like that you can find in these Jewish films.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wonder how many of those marriages work out. I'm going to guess probably more than just people getting together.
It worked for Tevye and Golda, so, you know.
Okay, that is the matchmaker. Sunday, October 13th, 6 o'clock p.m. That one would be at the White Theater as well, which is on the campus of the Jewish Community Center. And perhaps I should mention it. The campus of the Jewish Community Center, 5801 West 115th Street in Overland Park, very near Sprint. From their parking lot, I can see the Sprint buildings and the Sprint parking and all of that. That's where it is. You can go online to get this list that we're talking about. Because people are thinking right now, now what was that one
what
again?
Was that?
we'll go over it again. JewishKC.org. And I do have a number to call. Correct me if this isn't the right one. 913-327-8000. Is that
That's
the
main
number?
JCC number. The box office number is 327-8054. And the Film Festival has its own alias website. So the best way to get in touch of what we're doing is www.kcjff.org. That stands for Kansas City Jewish Film Festival. If you forget that or it doesn't make sense to you, jcckc.org is our main Jewish Community Center website, and it will have links to the film festival from there as well.
We're talking with Krista Blackwood, the Director of Cultural Arts for the Jewish Film Festival. She was part of the committee that put together all of these films. Mm-hmm. How many do you screen altogether?
This year we're screening 8. It's the most we've ever screened. Last year and the year before we did 7, and then in the prior, this is our 15th, as you so kindly announced at the beginning of the show. It started out really slow when we filmed. We screened films. We didn't have the space. The White Theater was built in 2005, so we didn't have the space. So we screened at Glenwood and at Tivoli and all over town. So it started out really slow and kind of has built up steam over the years. So this is the most number of films we've ever screened.
Yeah, so 8 altogether out of how many considered?
Oh, gosh, hours and hours of films. I think we go through and narrow them down. We don't watch every DVD that is sent to us, but we narrow them down. So I bet I watched over 100 films to narrow it down to these 8.
Wow. So the filmmakers will send a DVD of their film to you for
absolutely.
Consideration.
And then there are distributors that specialize in Jewish content films. With Israeli Films is a distributor, and a Film Movement specializes in Jewish content. So distributors will send us things that are, you know, top. This has been at this festival and this festival. So I look at things that have been in Los Angeles and in Miami and in Atlanta as being, you know, top on my list to screen here. So.
Yeah. Well, what haven't we covered yet? A Bottle in the Gaza Sea. We talked about that one.
We have not. That is, you know, that's the controversial one. That's the one that's going to raise some eyebrows. It's about a cyber friendship between a young Israeli girl and a young Palestinian boy.
It would be a difficult romance.
It was quite difficult, but what it does, I think, and being I'm not Jewish, and so the politics of it, I had to check this with a lot of people before I decided to screen it for sure, to make sure the politics were fairly presented, because when you talk about the relationship between Israel and Palestine, there's a lot of minds there that you can step in. But this is really, it does a really good job of describing this conflict in a very individual way with these kids who are young. And, you know, in Israel, you go into the army at 18, and so this girl's 16. So it's not that she's so young that she doesn't really know what's about to happen. And so, and that's really, you know, shocking and surprising to me when I think about the 16-year-olds I know, thinking that in 2 years they could go carry a gun somewhere and you know, be a serious part of defense. You know, sometimes you see those 16-year-olds, they think, oh, gosh, no. But Israeli youth are prepared for that from the very beginning. And so this film does a really good job of seeing the world through their eyes. And they both understand what they're up against, but are trying to find ways to make it different. And they really can't because they have no power. They're just young people. Yeah. But it's a beautiful film, and the Palestinian side of it is reflected, I think, very fairly and very with heart. So
yeah. See, now that's a difference of opinion. I guess that's a good way to say it. A difference of opinion that has gone on for thousands of years.
Yes, and it's rife with difficulty, and we're not going to solve it. And that the movie goes into that as well. These two kids are not going to solve it. Even if they find common ground, then that common ground needs to be found on a much larger scale. But that's where it starts. If these two kids who are from different sides of the track, as it were, can find common ground, then maybe it can build up to, you know, the halls of the political control. So.
Yeah. Is it true that military service is compulsory, some kind of servitude in the military or some other associated thing is compulsory at a certain age?
I believe so, and I might be wrong, but I believe that at age 18 you are required to spend 2 years in the military if you are an Israeli citizen.
Yeah,
and there are people who live here in the States who moved to Israel to serve.
Oh, right.
When they turn 18. There are several young people I know that have moved to serve for 2 years.
I read the story of the actress, help me out here, Deborah Winger.
Oh, right, no, right.
Deborah Winger, who was born in the United States, mm-hmm. moved over there to live in a kibbutz, if I'm saying the word right.
Yeah.
And she served, I don't know how many people know this, she served in the Israeli army for a short time.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's in her bio when she and her husband appeared in town. We were supposed to have an interview with them. It didn't work out for whatever reason. But I learned her whole background story on that. So I don't know that you even have to always be a citizen. Maybe if you
No, you don't have to be
there.
A citizen. And you can volunteer your service, I think, at any point, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they are probably the most efficient army in the world.
That's what they say.
They have to be. Mm-hmm. They have to be. Okay, that one is called A Bottle in the Gaza Sea. It will be it has two dates for this one.
Yeah, we have two showings on this
one. That's not true of all of the movies.
No, this is the only one. This is the one. We don't do very many daytime showings just because of the way our facility works, but this one was requested that we show it at some point during the day for the ladies who lunch, I guess, is the idea. So it's also screening on Wednesday, October 16th at 1:30. So go have lunch and then come see a film.
That's right, as well as Saturday, October 12th at 8 o'clock p.m. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're already confused about the schedule of things, jff.org.
KCJFF.org is the film festival website, and then our regular JCC website. Or you can just Google Kansas City Jewish Film Festival, and we pop right up.
Okay. Now, what films haven't we covered here? Paris, Manhattan. I don't believe we've talked about that
one,
have we?
We haven't, and this is when we start having fun. We get all the heavy stuff out of the way at the beginning, and then we start having fun. Paris, Manhattan is a French film about a woman who's obsessed with Woody Allen. And so it's a beautifully, wonderfully funny film. And she's got these crazy parents, and she's obsessed with Woody Allen, and she talks to him throughout the movie, and she's trying to structure her life in kind of a Woody Allen way. And it's just this beautiful film about falling in love and seeing it through Woody Allen's eyes, I guess. Mm. So.
And what strange eyes those would be.
Well, I was imagining the conceit of thinking of this film. I'm going to do a film about Woody Allen, except not about Woody Allen. He does have a small cameo.
That was nice of it. Yeah. He is Jewish.
He is Jewish, absolutely.
Yeah, playfully poking fun at France's ongoing love affair with the acclaimed New York. oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
it could have been Jerry Lewis or Woody Allen.
Sure.
They chose Woody Allen.
Well, sure, it could have been Jerry Lewis as well. Also very respected by the French, incidentally. But it is said there, and I don't know if this is true, perhaps as many Jewish people in the New York area as in the state of Israel.
It could be true.
It could be true as well.
That's certainly not true for Kansas City.
No, it's not. not quite that big. Paris/Manhattan, or Paris hyphen Manhattan, mm-hmm. I should say. Saturday, October 19th at 9 o'clock p.m. It does say English subtitles. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should explain that. Do some of the films need to have subtitles?
Many of them do. Bottle in the Gaza Sea is in Hebrew and Arabic and French and has English subtitles. Nikki's family is mostly in English. There are some interviews that are in foreign languages that are subtitled. The Matchmaker is in Hebrew, so it is subtitled. Hitler's Children is in several languages. The interviews are in German and Hebrew often, but it's mostly in English. But when there are foreign languages, there are subtitles. The Optimist, the same thing. It's a documentary, so it's mostly in English, but the interviews are often in Bulgarian and Hebrew, so there are English subtitles. And Paris, Manhattan is French, so you get subtitles there.
Yeah, let's see.
And then we end with our English films.
Okay. Yeah. Dorfman in Love.
Dorfman in Love.
First.
Oh, you know, Elliot Gould. You got to love him. Dorfman, this is an American film. Wendy Cloud is the screenwriter, and she's nailed this to a T. Dorfman, Deb Dorfman is like a 27-year-old, 28-year-old L.A. She grew up in the suburbs of L.A., and she's got a job. She works in the office with her brother, and her brother takes off and plays golf all the time, and she's left doing all of the work. They're accountants. And she's just kind of, she's kind of in love with her brother's best friend, but she's too dorky and too insecure to say anything. And so this is her story of, breaking out of her little suburban L.A. shell. And so she watches the brother's best friend is a journalist of some sort, so he goes off to do a story and needs her to watch his apartment. So she moves into downtown L.A. and kind of has adventures. And Elliot Gould plays her dad, and so he's just this, grumpy old Elliot Gould kind of character. It's fantastic.
He's a big film star in the 60s and mm-hmm. 70s. Nowadays, most young people anyway know him as Rachel's father.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
And he's playing that character. I mean, it's a little bit more Jewish. It's a little bit more, he's a little bit more grumpy, but it's that same character, but he's hysterical. And then Sarah Rue is who plays Deb Dorfman, and she had a sitcom a while back. I can't remember what it was called now, but she's just a charming person on screen, and so you fall immediately in love with her. And it's just a entertaining movie, and it's just a wonderful movie to come sit down and enjoy. And I don't think it's been screened here in Kansas City, so it would be a premiere.
Sounds like an interesting film. And, mm-hmm. It's in Jewish trivia for those of you. Elliot Gould was once married to Barbara Streisand. Who
and don't figured? They have a kid?
They do.
Yeah.
They do have a son.
Yeah.
They do indeed. Have we covered them all now?
I think we have.
Yeah.
I think
they're
we
each
have.
On a different day. That's how the procedure is going to work. Mm-hmm. Some days there won't be a film. For instance, on Friday evenings, because mm-hmm. that's the holy day.
Mm-hmm.
So there won't be one on Friday evenings. But other than that, are we basically a...
We don't have a Monday or a Wednesday film as well. So it goes from Saturday, October 12th to Sunday, October 20th. But there's no film on Monday. There's no film on Wednesday. And there are no films on during the day except for Wednesday the 16th. But again, the whole schedule, it's a confusing schedule, but the whole schedule you can find online at www.kcjff.org or just Google Kansas City Jewish Film Festival and we pop right up.
Yeah.
And tickets are available at the door. It's not assigned seating, so you can just pop in and grab a ticket and don't grab your popcorn, but grab a ticket and come enjoy the film.
It makes it sound like there's been a spilling problem. I
inherited. I've only been there 2 years, but there must have been something because we are very strict about our no food and drink policy. So.
Well, it's a beautiful place. I was always surprised that more events weren't even in.
Well, we are very busy, and that's we are. The whole Jewish community campus has access to that space for meetings and for lectures and other things they have. So we become a very, very busy space. And so it's hard to host as much as many events as we want to host when we've got so much going on ourselves.
Yeah,
so.
I was surprised to find the first time I visited there, they can even pull the curtains back and have even more seats up there.
Yeah.
If need be.
We have, for the film festival, we usually have it pulled to our 250 seating, but we open up the curtains and it's 500. So our plays and our films are usually 250, and then our musicals and other larger events. When Calvin Trillin was here last year, we had it all opened up all the way, packed. Yeah, and then if even when the Maccabees were here last year, we even considered opening up the room behind the theater because there's a big extendable wall that opens up to have people have standing room over there. We've never done that. The sound's not very good back there, but we're working on that.
Well, I'll bet so. Well, it's a beautiful place. So
Thank you.
They can fly in scenery.
Yes, that's exciting.
The artistic director explained to me one time how they could fly this in and fly that in. But very great facility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You could do a lot with that. So there are things there. The film festival is there. It's where the theatrical presentations, the musical presentation, and speakers occasionally. I doubt that Mr. Trillin sang. Maybe he did.
You know, he might have hummed before he came on stage, so we'll just count that.
He's quite verbose. I saw him in person once. I sat in on an interview that someone else did with him. He was very verbose. But they bring speakers in there at the Jewish Community Center in the White Theater. It's a beautiful place, 5801 West 115th Street. Which street is that to go south? It is the best way to turn in.
Oh, I come down Knoll. Knoll is the easiest. So if you come down Knoll from 435, you'll take a right on 115th, and you go up a hill, and it's easy to miss. So if you get to Metcalf, you've gone too far. But if you come off Knoll and you're going right up that hill, it's the first left. The sign says Jewish Community Campus because, again, the JCC, the Jewish Community Center, is only one of the tenants out there. We have a bunch of other the Hyman Brand Hebrew Academy and the Jewish Family Services and all sorts of other Jewish organizations are out there. So the sign says Jewish Community Campus. Don't let it confuse you. Turn, come down, and find us. There's signs once you get in the facility to find out where we are.
Yeah, lots of nice parking as well. The number to call for more information, 913-327-8054.
That's it.
That's the number to call. And online at kcjff.org. That's for the film festival. The regular Jewish Community Center is Jewish KC.
No, that's just our email. Isn't that confusing?
Oh.
It's jcckc.org.
JCC.
Again, jewishkc.org is all of those other organizations, so we all have the same email extension. So Jewish Family Services has Jewish KC.org, and we're very confusing out there.
Okay.
But our website is jcckc.org.
Okay, sounds like another great event over there. Krista Blackwood, the Director of Cultural Arts for the Jewish Community Center, talking about the 15th Annual Jewish Film Festival, which opens on
Saturday, October 12th at 8 o'clock.
And runs through Sunday, October the 20th.
That's it. And we have an opening night reception, so come enjoy free wine and free dessert on our opening night, which is October 12th at 8 o'clock.
Okay, thank you very much,
Thank
Krista.
You.
Krista Blackwood, Director of Cultural Arts, and I say this every time, but you don't have to be Jewish to join
Absolutely.
The Jewish Community Center. Thanks for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We're going to take a break. When we return, lots of hilarity coming up next, and you'll see what I mean when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame!
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Director Ron Howard brings his slick, workmanlike style to Rush, an engaging action flick about the fierce rivalry between 70s-era Formula One race driver James Hunt, played by Chris Hemsworth, and Niki Lauda, played by Daniel Brühl. While formulaic, Rush manages to add some considerable horsepower to a predictable but compelling story. Actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt makes his writing and directing debut with the comic drama Don John. Gordon-Levitt plays a young man with an addiction to porn and an inability to connect emotionally with a woman. Although it comes close to becoming the porn it's supposedly criticizing, and it has an oddly abrupt final act, Gordon-Levitt shows a lot of promise in his bow behind the camera. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini star in Enough Said, a middle-aged romantic comedy. Louis-Dreyfus and Gandolfini look to fill an emotional void as their respective daughters head off for college. While it has a number of inspired moments, this well-acted comedy is an example of parts that don't quite add up to a completely satisfying whole. A terrific, appealing cast is completely thwarted by a trite script in Baggage Claim, a romantic comedy that feels like it crash-landed out of a 50s time warp. Paula Patton plays a flight attendant desperately looking for a husband, oddly unaware that her best friend, played by Derek Luke, is the perfect candidate. The sporadic laughs can't overcome the movie's tired and cliched moments, so Baggage Claim never takes off. Also opening this week, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 is a sequel to the popular 2009 animated feature. Cutie and the Boxer is a documentary about an elderly New York couple, Ushiro and Noriko Shinohara, both noted artists. And the Kansas International Film Festival runs October 4th through the 10th. More information is available at kansasfilm.com. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame! Welcome to This Week on Stage, underwritten by KC Stage Magazine, your most comprehensive source for performing arts in Kansas City. Find out what's playing at kcstage.com. Opening this week is Carrie the Musical at the EGADS Theater Company. This Week Only, Dance Theater of Harlem, part of the Harriman Jewel series. Still playing this week are Old Blue Eyes at Chestnut Fine Arts Theater, Your Hit Parade at Quality Hill Playhouse, The Fox on the Fairway at New Theater Restaurant, Musical Mondays 2013 at Musical Theater Heritage, The Parlor Series 2013 at Musical Theater Heritage, Murder at the Royal by The Mystery Train, The Fox on the Fairway at Paradise Playhouse Dinner Theater, and Black Lab, a new music festival at the Charlotte Street Foundation. Closing this week are Red Badge Variations at the Coterie Theater, Footloose at Theater Lawrence, Spring Awakening at the Barn Players Incorporated, and Seven Guitars at UMKC Theater. These shows can be reviewed online on our website at kcstage.com, with over 200 performing arts organizations listing auditions, performances, and events. Week on Stage is a public service of KC Stage Magazine and 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This week, the aftermath of the bloodiest attack on Christians in the history of Pakistan.
It's a harmless community giving a lot to that society, contributing to it. So this act is aimed to create outrage on the international level, and that's what it's done.
I'm Maureen Fiedler. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right before the Jazz Disciple.
On the next Mic Check.
Look at how the wealthiest interests are warping politics. There's no better place to look than the state level.
Money is a weapon.
The controversial film Citizen Coke, a film about money, power, and democracy, had its funding pulled from PBS, but they surpassed their Kickstarter fundraiser goal in 3 days. Filmmaker Tia Lesson talks of the film's trials and tribulations on this week's Mic Check, Tuesday, 6 p.m.
Wisconsin is open for business.
Recently widowed Godfrey is under the spell of Sweet Father Divine, while his teen daughters immerse themselves in Hollywood illusions to escape the racial prejudice of 1950s Brooklyn. But things change quickly when free-spirited Aunt Lily shows up, Godfrey remarries a white woman, Ermina discovers boys, and Ernestine is torn between communism and bebop. In Crumbs from the Table of Joy on L.A. Theater Works, Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Yes, we're going to have fun in this half hour. We're going to talk about clowns and mimes and all of that. But because Beth and I both knew Jeannie Jaspers, I thought we should both say a word or two, in my case probably more, about Jeannie, a longtime folk music coffeehouse folk music programmer here at KKFI. Even longer than me. She was here from the very beginning, 25 years. I'm only 24. In fact, we had that discussion when she had a 25th anniversary celebration for her show back in the spring. Right. We talked about who had been here the longest, and I told her, it's you.
Right.
And, you know, probably one other in between. But, but may have well been the longest running programmer here at the station. But she passed away last week. It was quite sudden and surprising. Right. And Beth mentioned to me that she had known her for a long time.
Exactly. I did the Renaissance Festival for 17 years, and my last year was 2012, so count back. And she's one of the first people I met, and she's just wonderful. I'm shocked. I'm going to miss her. And I know everyone missed her this last weekend because there was a Kansas City Renaissance Festival musicians reunion, and she was expected to be a pretty big part of that. And so that was tough for everyone. Yeah. I know. So, yeah. So
it's very surprising. So you can check Sunday's obituaries for the official notice, the place for the memorial, the place for the service. I won't go into that here. You can check that out for yourself. But it gives the dates and the times and all that. Other than that, we don't know. We're all kind of here in shock now.
Right.
But we'll see what happens.
She was
young. In the days to come. Yeah, 48 years
only
old.
Only 48.
Can you say a woman's age even if she's past? It's a faux pas to say it otherwise.
She's really young. 48 is really young.
Yes, right. So, we would both have to say that. Yeah. Well, Beth Bird is with us.
Yes.
We're going to get really funny now.
All right, I think Gene would want us to.
That's
Gene
right.
Would want us to.
Well, you're probably right.
Gene yeah.
would probably want us to. Beth is a clown, a mime, a producer, a writer, a producer. She wears many hats, as
yes.
you've heard me say that before. Today, she is wearing a pointy yellow hat.
Yeah. Just for the radio.
She has a bunch of things to talk about. There's a
I
whole
do.
Thing. She emailed an order to me, but I'm not going to how well we're going to follow that.
Right,
order.
Right. We'll do what we can.
But you have a lot of things. You have a lot of things going on. How do you manage to stay sane?
I don't, obviously. I think that's pretty clear. So I'm very fortunate this year. There's a lot of things coming up. I wanted to start with one of the things I'm most grateful about is that I get to work with the French Cabaret. And the French Cabaret is Cynthia Van Roden on vocals, our chanteuse, Rick Moreski on guitar, and John Miles on bass. And we've been working together for about a year and a half now, a couple years, at the Uptown Arts Bar. And we've got so much material together, and we're lucky enough that the Nelson Atkins Museum contacted us to be the show in the auditorium the Friday after Thanksgiving, and that's apparently the busiest day of the year for them. That they keep telling me that every time I go in, so I don't feel the pressure. No, we're going to do so. So what it is? It's the Impressionist France era, and we'll be covering that. We have 129 images to filter through, 7 different themes. We'll be working with Patrick Ripetu, and Mr. Doyle in the booth, Kevin Doyle, will be our tech person. We'll have wonderful images up behind us, and it's free, 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. It's a great show. It'll be a great show for the whole family. The that's November 29th, Friday, November 29th, and the Nelson will have it up on their website here soon. So,
is it going to be in the auditorium at the Nelson?
Or? Yes, the auditorium. So we get beautiful stage, beautiful acoustics. I just got to see Damon Lee Patterson's film, Art Saved My Life, in there, which was a great film. And it's a wonderful facility. So it's a great opportunity. And what we're going to do before that, Friday, October 18th at the Uptown Arts Bar, is premiere some of the numbers that we're going to do at that show in a much more intimate setting. And so it'll be different, but it'll give you a taste of what we're going to do. And we'll be collaborating with Craig Kensinger. He's a marionette artist. And that show is called Impressions du Automne. Oh, I'm going to don't. Impressions of Autumn.
I was hoping that you would pronounce it.
Impression. yeah. So, all of my French friends will be saying, that's not right. But it's all on the website at birdproductions.org. And I'll be saying that a lot. BYRDproductions.org. So that is Friday, October 18th at the Uptown Arts Bar. Please come see us. We always have a good time there.
You know, people have asked me, what kind of things do they do at a French show that's different from a good old American show?
It's all about the setting. We help to we create the atmosphere. Oh, by the way, that's from 7 o'clock to 8:30. So it's an early show at the Uptown Arts Bar. And it's all about the setting, the atmosphere. You come in, and all the songs are French cabaret, of course, but it's as if we go to a different place that's probably make-believe in our hearts and minds as far as, you know, taking you to France, but at the Uptown Arts Bar. And you just feel like you're in a completely different world for about an hour and a half. So that's our job, is to spirit you away to France. So, yeah. And I'll be doing, of course, the French mime. I did get to study with Marcel Marceau, and I'll get to use some of that training. So, yay.
Yeah, that must be a lot of fun. Yeah.
We love collaborating.
I don't want to give away anything. Do you have a character, a French character?
Oh yeah, Petite Colombe. Yeah. Which is the little dove, and all my performance names are bird related. So, but that really does help work, you know, Petite Colombe. And so getting to work with Cynthia Van Roden, we really write it all the shows together. We go back and forth with ideas and pick the songs and pick the ideas and the themes. So we start with a theme and kind of go from there.
Yeah, Cynthia, she does a singing act.
Right.
That's probably not the best way to say it.
She's a chanteuse. She's a great vocalist.
There's a lot at the Phillips house, I've noticed, on her emails.
Yes. And the Phillips is a really good space for them. They don't stick to the French stuff there. So if you want to see that trio really expand and do all kinds of things, and the Phillips Hotel has wonderful acoustics. I love listening to them there. And the service is amazing. I'm not just saying it. It's like, wow. That's like a time machine going back in the beautiful building there. That's gorgeous. So, yeah, I like catching them there.
A lot of good, of course, that isn't French cabaret.
No, a lot
of good French cabaret action.
Exactly.
Let's try that. November 29th at the Nelson, and then
right.
November 15th at
Uptown Arts Bar. October 18th.
October
so you'll
18th.
Get a preview October 18th, and then you'll get to see the full show November 29th.
Okay, we'll review all this later.
Hopefully, because we got a lot to cover.
If I'm confused and I'm writing things.
Also, what you're thinking of is November 15th. We'll be collaborating with the Cansey Broke Consortium and Commedia Sans Arte and Patrick Ripetu to do another show. We don't have a title, but it'll be about gluttony.
Uh-huh.
The theme will be gluttony, and that'll be at the Uptown Arts Bar as well. That's on my website. Under
gluttony?
You know, just time for Thanksgiving. So, yeah. Oh, there's so many broke songs about gluttony. Oh, yeah. Drinking and eating. So, yeah. If you're
sounds French in some strange way.
Oh, somehow. I think it's a universal theme. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be then. All right. And then, So, before I forget, I also wanted to mention that I'm a Charlotte Street Foundation studio resident this year, so keep an eye on my website for that. We'll be doing some events at the Paragraph Gallery. I just put in my proposal. I don't know when that'll be, so it'll be on the website.
All right.
So shall we get to the October?
Let's move on.
Okay. October. Earlier in October is Friday, October 11th, is the Physical Flow Show. This is a collaboration with the New Century's Follies. The New Century's Follies and Bird Productions have pretty much got the Just Off Broadway Theater booked for that week. And so what we're doing on Friday, October 11th at 8 o'clock with the Physical Flow Show is...
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So it's okay. I know
things
he's
are very distracting, right? People are pointing things at me, and I don't know. I'm concentrating on Ben.
Sorry about that. Yeah. All right. So what we have, so I just want to say, for me, this is one of the times I feel like I really do get to be the artistic director, where the direction for the show, the reason why we split off, we're doing two different shows, the Physical Flow Show on October 11th, and the Big Damn Dirty Clown Show on Saturday, October 12th, because with the Fool's Fortune Showcase I've been doing for the last 8 years, they've kind of combined, and I want to untangle the things that are physical theater and the things that are clown theater, so we get to really concentrate.
That's okay. Go ahead, Beth.
On creating the show that is pure physical theater. So physical theater is theater that's best expressed physically. The thoughts begins and ends with the physicality. It's the way you write. It's the way you create. It's sans words. It's the part of your brain that when you see it, you're like, oh, that's it. You know, it's very tough to describe on the radio, which I knew it would be. But some of the artists that we're using, we're going to have Damien Blake do one of his more movement-oriented pieces, more vaudevillian, but it's a lot of movement as his Charlie Chaplin character. The Flock, A Company of Clowns, is going to do things that we call machines, where it's about repeating the actions. I'm going to do one of the pieces I haven't done since 97 for the Nelson Atkins Museum, and it's called Ceremonial Sticks, and it's a piece that has to do with all the different things a stick can be. We're going to, and it may sound funny, but it's very ceremonial, like all the different cultural things a stick has been in history and could be. Jay Cady's going to do some mime. Lacey Ellington is an aerial artist, so we're going to set up an aerial rig in the middle of just off Broadway Theater. Ryan Nogle is going to do some contact juggling. Patricia Rasconi is also going to do some mime. I'm going to collaborate with her. Craig Kensinger is going to do a number about coming out from behind the marionette, like what is it to be the movement behind a puppet. Justin Sheldon, he's a modern motion juggler. He's going to create a beautiful, he's creating a beautiful piece for this. And Sarah Glass and I had just met right before here, and she and I are going to work on a couple of pieces, but she's a hoop artist. And we'll be doing a number where she talks about coming out from behind, how the hoop is its own thing.
Yeah.
You know, so
you do a good job with your workshops.
Oh, yes. And yeah, there will be. Oh, thank you. She's taken quite a few workshops. A lot of these artists have been inspired by the workshops for productions has offered, and they're putting that in these shows. So I'm thrilled that all these years of since 1995 offering workshops, that almost every artist I listed has been affected by the workshops that we've offered over the years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So then Saturday, October 12th, is the Big Damn Dirty Clown Show. Now, sorry for the language, folks, but that's more New Century's Follies.
Just say it as a verb every time.
I could just do the BDDCS. Or the Big Gosh Darn Dirty.
It's like, did you have that limerick where you grew up? I went to the dam to get some dam water.
Right, right.
If you use it as a verb every
time. Right, every time.
That's right.
Yes. It's a great damn show. I don't know. Now I'm stuck. All right.
That's all right.
Okay. So this is more the brainchild of New Century's Follies, and we were going to collaborate on this years ago, and it just kind of fell through. But we are back on track with it, and it's something that they've always wanted to do, which is really hype up what clown could be in the burlesque world. Like if it were its own slice, like most of the burlesque shows combine vaudeville and burlesque. This is just the vaudeville. This is just if clowns really got full reign to do the dirty stuff, you know. So this is adult. This one is adults only. The Physical Flow Show is family friendly. This one is not at all. And so, yes, booze will be consumed, jokes will be jested, flesh will be exposed. These are not your typical birthday clowns, is one of the taglines in this. Okay. So the performers, there'll be some visiting artists from out of town that they're bringing in. They're bringing in Paco Fish. I've seen some videos of him. He's in the middle of a tour, his whirlwind worldwide. They're really putting me to the test here. Vanguard tour. And we're just part of that tour. But he does get extremely exposed on stage. And extremely.
So it's an adult show?
Yes.
At least the clown part of it.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then Lady Jack, she's visiting from Chicago. And just for this one spectacular show, she's once again just passing through. Damien Blake is going to be his hobo and whiskey tester. And Annie Cherry is going to be her seductive red-nosed siren. Opal Malone, also known as Katie Gilchrist. I can't say this on the air. She'll be infamous. That's all I'm going to say. Sweet Louise is going to be spicy this time. And then Katie and Sweet Louise will combine to be Bumble and Buzz, two of my favorite clowns in Kansas City, bar none. I love to see them. They don't perform together often enough. I'm telling this to anybody who wants to push the buttons and get them to do more shows together. It needs to happen. Bumble and Buzz. Okay, The Flock, the company clowns that I worked with, they're working on a piece that they're working with Phil at Blue Al Hooser that will be everything clowns are not supposed to say. And then Marty Honig, a member of The Flock, but she's going to be the world's oldest pole dancer. I will be doing, it's really funny. And then I will be doing, I'll be opening up the show with what I call my sexy mime routine. Heidi Van is going to, not sure what she's doing. I haven't seen what she's doing. Peyton Westfall with Cirque du Gay, as well as Dennis Porter with Cirque du Gay, are doing some really adult material. So, okay. Yeah. Oh, and Hanky Panky is our tomcat. And that means he's the guy who's picking up all the pieces after we throw them on the floor. So, yes. And then the after that, on the 13th, we have the power in silence and creating character and embodying emotion. Those are two workshops by Paco Fish. And I'm very excited about him doing, they're just two classes, but what I notice is his strong background in physical theater. It says there's power in silence and strength in stillness, which is a strong place to come from for a workshop. So all of this is on the website because I know I can't give prices. Uh-huh. But that is Sunday the 13th. There's a 1 o'clock workshop, The Power in Silence, and a 2:15 workshop, Creating Character and Embodying Emotion. Paco Fish will be, it's not just for burlesque, but it's handy if you're doing burlesque. It's great for any performer who's writing their own material and putting it on the stage.
Okay, here. Your website again, Byrd Productions.
BYRDProductions.org. O-R-G, BYRDProductions.org.
Do you want to give your regular phone number? You have a different phone number?
It's all the same. I have it on silence. It's 816-305-8188.
Okay, that's quite a lot from Beth.
It is. But you can get the tickets. There's a link to the tickets for everything there as well. We use brown paper tickets. So,
okay,
yeah.
You hang on. I wasn't sure if Brian was coming or not, but he's here. Brian Mossman with the Kansas International Film Festival. You have some things coming up?
Well, the 13th annual Kansas International Film Festival starts Friday, 7 days, over 50-some films from all over the world. We have Great Expectations opening night film on Saturday, August, Osage County. But there's something for everyone, from animation to local KIFF films, or Kansas films. But if you like films, there's plenty to choose from.
Yeah, is it all going to be at the Glenwood
Everything's
Arts,
at
which
the,
is your theater?
Right, the Glenwood Arts at Metcalf South. And individual tickets, festival passes are on sale. And I will have to admit, I think the lineup this year of the non-studio films is probably one of the best we've had. They're really, really good. And the filmmakers will be there for some of the films for a Q&A to follow. So if you like independent movies, it's a lot of fun.
What's your big – do you have one big one that
– Well, the two
a,
I just
– a big seller more than any others?
Well – probably August Osage County is probably the biggest one. The
it
Mandela
was a great play.
The Mandela film is going to be good. Great Expectations. We have Manhattan Shorts on opening night. We're one of 300 cities worldwide that's going to play that series, and a lot of them will be nominated for the Oscars next year. But there's just a lot to choose from. Some of the shows are filling up, so I just tell people, you know, go to kansasfilm.com, do your research, because a lot of these movies you've not heard of, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean they're bad films. They're good films, actually, but you need to go watch the trailers, read the synopsis, find something that you like, because we got a lot of really good documentaries and just regular narrative features to see as well.
Yeah, and it all kicks off on...
On Friday.
On Friday.
On
yeah.
Friday.
Okay, and lasts for how many days?
7 days.
7 days? Okay.
It seems like 3 weeks.
Well, to you. To you, it probably does. Yeah. You have speakers coming in. I know time
well,
is short.
Well, yeah. If you go to the website or pick up one of the brochures, the filmmakers that are attended are listed. Kevin Wilmont, he's got one of the closing night films. But there's some local people here, Todd Norris, Ben Mead. Mm-hmm. There's some films that you will know the people, they will be there, and some of the people that you don't know, but a lot of good films.
Yeah. Okay, number, website, give it again for the
folks. KansasFilm.com. You would have to click About KIFF and pull down the film guide. It gives you an alphabetized list of all the films, trailers, dates and times. Everything plays once. Mm-hmm. There's a jury awards that there's six of each, both docs and narratives. Those will play one more time, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, but everything else just play once. I can't advise buy tickets early because if you walk up at the door, there are some shows that are almost sold out already.
Oh, wow.
So just, you know, shop wisely.
Yeah, shop wisely. Pick the films. And can they, is it on your website? Is there a synopsis?
Well, if you go to the theater's website, fineartsgroup.com, you can do a quick link. It says KIFF schedule. and it'll go to the same thing as kansasfilm.com.
Okay.
Or pick up the programs at any one of the four theaters, and it has a four-color flyer that explains everything.
Okay. Again, you might quickly, the Glenwood Arts Theater is located
in 95th and Metcalf. The Metcalf Mall on the east or backside, right in the middle, just walking the doors. We'll have a lot of extra food because there'll be a lot of people there this weekend.
Yeah, you have that big sign there where you turn on 95th Street.
Right.
That's the one you got from the one on. The old maybe belonged
well,
to you.
We're the Glenwood Arts. That was the Glenwood, so we just kind of.
Okay, once again, the phone number if you want to give one and the website.
913-642-4404 or the website kansasfilm.com. You can buy tickets in person or online, either way.
Yeah, you probably said it. But how many films altogether?
Well, there's like 55 films.
Wow,
but if you add all the shorts and stuff, there's probably close to maybe 80 or 90. There's a lot to choose from.
Okay. See, a lot of things we've told you about today.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, Brian.
Well, thanks, Michael.
Thanks for having you. Anything else that Beth wants to add before we move on?
No, what I notice is the people that listen to this radio station take a risk. You know, they take chances, they take risks, they go to see things that they have no idea what it is. You know, and that's one of the things I like about the KIFF, the film festival, and the festivals that this is, because this is basically a festival that we're offering. I highly recommend that you go see it, take a risk, whatever it is. If you've never heard of what a physical flow show is, go see it for yourself. It is impossible to explain what it is. It is a physical intelligence that when people see it, they're like, it satisfies to the core in a way, in a different way. It's a completely different language, physicality. Same thing with film. He could try to explain what the films are, but you have to go see them. So that's what I like about KKFI. It's that type of audience that listens to this, that goes out and takes a risk.
Yeah, and a good message, because next week is a fundraising week.
Take a risk and support this place.
Thanks so much for being with us. Beth
Thank
Bird
you.
Of Bird Productions, and the event she has, BYRT, like the Admiral, Bird Productions.
That's right, we are related. The small bird world.
And to Brian Mossman from the Fine Arts Theater Group, the Kansas International Film Festival, starting this Friday. So thanks so much, right, both of you, for being with us. Time is short. Again, time passes so fast. I'm glad we have this time together, but it passes much, much too fast. The Jazz Insider is next. Great jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you.